Amen. Again, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord with you on a Sunday morning and worshiping the Lord and honoring the Lord for His goodness. You know, we sang that song, God is so good. And how many of you can truly say God is so good? Amen. You know, I was just thinking about, you know, there are young people in this house, and you got saved when you were young, and you grew up loving Jesus. You grew up in church loving Jesus, and you never strayed into the world. You never did the worldly things, and God has kept you. And I just want to say, you know, people like me, we really need your testimony. I mean, you have a very powerful testimony. You have a testimony that God can not only save you, but He can keep you. And I'm thankful for that testimony. You know, I come from the other side of testimony. I rebelled when I was a teenager and went into the life of drugs and alcohol and everything that goes with that. And when I got saved, I was just so desperate for God to keep me and do something in my life. And I just really needed your testimony. Your testimony to me was, listen, God can not only save you, He can keep you. And I'm so grateful for that. And, you know, truly, God is good. God is good. You know, when He saved me, I didn't have anything. Truly, you know, my life was left in the ashes. But God put something in my heart. Tim, if you'll just continue to walk with me, I'll put order to your life. And I'll bless you, and I'll do something in your life. And today, the only thing I can say is God is good. You know, when I came to Bible school here, it was Mount Zion then. I think I came with one pair of pants, two shirts, and one black string tie. That's what I came with. But more than that, I came with a heart hungry to see God do something in my life. And here it is 20 years later. You know, I have a closet with clothes. God has met my need. I got a beautiful wife, two beautiful kids. God has entrusted me with a church. He's entrusted me with students to teach 5-6 times a week. I'm telling you, I'm blessed. And when I sing God is so good, it's not dead. God is so good. Oh, I hope we don't sing it more than 3 times. God is... No, no, no. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God is good. God is good. And I just thank Him for what He's done in my life. Amen. Well, I want to look at a couple of chapters in John. Then we're going to go to Acts chapter 3. I want to talk to you about when a house of prayer becomes supernatural. When a house of prayer becomes supernatural. Go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to look at just a couple of verses where Jesus is talking to Nathanael. Verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto Nathanael, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Go with me to chapter 5. We're going to look at one verse, and that's verse 20. Verse 20 says, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now go with me to Acts chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple of the house of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened unto him. Beloved, again, I just feel impressed in my heart just to talk to you this morning about when a house of prayer becomes supernatural. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, you've been speaking to us recently about prayer and belief in the power of prayer and the power of a praying church and a people that have a heart to come together and call upon the name of the Lord for their lives and for this generation that we're living in. And God, I pray that this would be a soul-stirring message and a faith-stirring message, God. God, you truly want your houses of prayer. You passionately desire your houses of prayer to be a supernatural place. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak something deep in our hearts that man's voice is powerless to do. But the voice of God can go down to the deepest places and ignite something in our heart, God. Lord, I thank you that you haven't left this generation. Lord, you haven't left it a victim to the darkness and victim to the thief who comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But God, you have raised up a people called the church, Lord, that are anointed with the same anointing that you walked in, destroying the works of the devil. No, God, would you stir our hearts again that we are here for a reason. As a church, we have a mission. And Lord, that is to seek and save the lost. That is to disciple your people and see them grow in truth. And that is to see lives transform. God, our destiny is to go forward in God and grow and become great in the things of God. And there is nothing darkness has that can stop us from fulfilling our destiny. And God, would you put that kind of faith in our prayer life as a church? That we would pray with a passion, God. And I thank you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1 again. It says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. It says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And so the first thing I want us to recognize is that Peter and John are going to the temple at a time that's set apart specifically for prayer. That Peter and John are going to the temple at a time that is designated specifically to prayer. You know, they know the service that they're attending is going to be a prayer service. They know the service that they're going to is going to be a prayer meeting. You know, it may be a time when God's people are coming together and they're praying corporately, or it may be a time of just personal, private prayer. But as they are on their way to the temple, they have something that their heart, and it's simply this: we're going there to pray. That's why we're going. And yet, as I was really meditating on this, listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart, and what he was wanting to say to us today through this scripture, I began to sense that this temple was a house of prayer, yet having no expectation of the supernatural. That this was a people of prayer, yet having no expectation of having a supernatural impact on the society right outside its door. You see, right outside was a lame man who for years, day after day, was laid right at the gate to ask for alms from people going into the temple. And I believe these temple goers got so used to seeing him there, the thought of supernatural strength never entered their minds. The people got so used to seeing his lameness and strengthlessness that the thought of divine strength and power raising him up never entered their hearts. They were so used to attending weekly prayer meetings and walking out and seeing nothing change. They were so used to attending weekly prayer services and walking out and having no impact upon a strengthless, powerless society right outside its doors. They were so used to walking out of their times of prayer and seeing nothing of God divinely touch a people hungry for something that transcends human strength and human help. They were so used to it. I believe a mindset had shaped their minds. I believe a mindset had come in and begin to fashion their minds. And that mindset is simply this. Let's pray because this is what God expects. But let's not expect genuine, breathtaking, stunning miracles to happen. Let's be a people of prayer because this is what God expects. But let's not expect our prayers to have a supernatural effect upon our society. Let's pray and then go home not expecting to see anything really happen. Listen, the lame man was there when we came in, and the lame man is going to be there when we come out. Amen. And can I say this in all respect? In all respect, I say this. Beloved, I was raised in church. And this is really how it is in so many houses of worship. I think we've just captured this mindset that says, let's just be content in saying that we pray. Let's just be content with that. Let's just be content with going to church and praying and then walking out saying, we prayed. We're a people of prayer. We're a praying church. Let's just be content with that. We pray and attend prayer meetings with no real expectation in our hearts. We pray, we have this mindset that, listen, the lame man was there when we walked in and he's going to be there when we walk out. Nothing is really going to change when we pray. And really, that is a mindset that has captured so many churches. Just nothing of the supernatural expected. Just so content with this mindset that says, okay, we came in, we prayed, we're a praying church, but in my heart, I really don't expect to see anything change. Amen. But can I say this? As a church, let's not fool ourselves. There are people in our society, there are people that are surrounding this church who are thirsty for change, who are thirsty for freedom, who are thirsty to become someone who in their own strength it is impossible to become. You see, beloved, in our story, deep in his heart, this man was hungry for divine strength. This man was hungry to get up on his own two legs and walk. In other words, he was hungry for the strength and power that only God could offer. He was lying right outside the gate. And in his heart, he wanted to get up and walk. He wanted to find a strength that was so far beyond his strength. And in essence, he was really hungry for what God had to offer him. He was hungry for the strength God had to offer him. He was hungry for the power God had to offer him. And I truly believe it was the Holy Spirit that put this in my heart. That though we do not hear their cries, there are people all around this church that are hungry for what God has to offer. I believe that with all of my heart. This week in prayer, God made that so real to me. Tim, here in Grantville, all around your church, all around this well that I've cultivated, there are actually people who are hungry for what I have to offer. There are men in our society with deep cries in their heart. Oh God, make me the man I can never find the strength to become. Oh God, make me the husband I can never find the strength to become. Oh God, make me the father I can never find the strength to become. There are women in our society, though we don't hear the deep places in their heart, they're crying out, oh God, I'm so empty. Oh God, I'm so barren. Oh God, I'm so lifeless. If what you said to the Samaritan woman is true, that those who come to you will no longer thirst anymore, then fill me with this living water. Fill me with this life. Beloved, I say it by the authority of the Lord. Let's not fool ourselves. And let's not let the devil fool ourselves. All around this house there are people that are hungry for what God has to offer. And they want what God has to offer. And what you possess in your life right now as you sit in your pew, they would give their left hand and their right hand to have. Because they're hungry for it. Let's not let the devil fool us. In our dark, sinful society that we live in, there are people hungry for God. They may not know it's God they're hungry for, but they're hungry for God. And they're hungry for what He has to offer. And they're hungry for what's in this house. So Pastor Tim, amen, if it's all right, if I preach to us this morning, is that okay? Amen. So Pastor Tim, if this is true, if they are hungry for what God has to offer, then why aren't they knocking at our doors? If they're really hungry for what God has to offer, why aren't they coming to our church? Well, let me ask you this question. What was this lame man's mindset in Acts 3 regarding this temple? What was this lame man's belief regarding this temple? Well, here's his mindset. Here's his belief. It's a beautiful building. It's a beautiful gate. And has much to offer in regards to human help. It can give me money. It can help me keep food on my table. And the people are truly generous. I come here day after day because kindness and sympathy hasn't dried up. I won't go home empty-handed. And I am grateful for their help. But when it comes to a power that transcends human strength and help, it can't help me. Getting up and walking will take a miracle, and there's no genuine miracles here. I am truly grateful for its generosity, but I don't expect a miracle. And can I say this is how many unsaved people view the church? And listen, I'm not saying it's always the right viewpoint, but I am saying this is how they see it. They know what they need so far transcends human help. They know what they need so far transcends human strength. And their viewpoint is simply, I know I won't find it there. And humbly and respectfully, let me say that although this viewpoint isn't exactly right, many are right because of the very thing that we're talking about in this story. You see, this temple was a house of prayer, yet having no expectation of the supernatural. That this was a people of prayer, but yet this praying people didn't have an expectation of a supernatural impact on their society. Let's pray and go home and really not expect to see anything happen. The lame man was there when we came in, and he's going to be there when we come out. Listen, if we don't believe that our prayers can have a supernatural impact right where we live, then where are they going to find the faith to find it? If we don't believe our prayers are going to raise up breathtaking, stunning, supernatural miracles, because that is what Jesus came to do, where are they going to find the faith to believe it? If we don't come and together as a church and pray with a passion in our heart. Jesus, you came to deliver the spiritually oppressed. You came to transform lives. God, there is a faith and a passion in my heart to pray. I believe this. If we don't have the passion in our hearts to believe it, where are they going to find the faith to believe it? But what I love about Acts chapter 3, something rose up in Peter's heart to confront this mindset that had permeated this society. I want you to look with me at verse 4. Acts chapter 3, verse 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And I really want to emphasize those three words. Look on us. In other words, Peter is saying, fix your eyes on us. Give us your fullest attention. You are in need of nothing short of a miracle. And we're not going to work around it with human generosity. God has anointed His church to do what the world is powerless to do. And that is offer divine strength to a society of people lying crippled and captivated at its doorstep. Fix your eyes solely on us because there is nowhere else to look. In Jesus' name, rise up from your lameness. In Jesus' name, rise up from your powerlessness. In Jesus' name, rise up out of your blindness. In Jesus' name, rise up out of your captivity. Rise up out of everything the devil has that cripples and captivates you and walk in the newness of life that only Jesus can give you. Look on us. Beloved, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, this has to be our belief again. And this has to be our declaration again. Look on us because there's nowhere else for you to look. We are the only living organism in the earth empowered by God to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance to the captives, to bring recovering of sight to the spiritually blind, to give the oil of joy for mourning and beauty for ashes. When it comes to the deep needs that run so deep in your life, God has empowered His church to do what the world is powerless to do. So rise up in newness of life and walk. And that's got to be our declaration again. Listen, this generation has been so fragmented and broken and ravaged by darkness that the world, with all of its education and knowledge and giftings and skills and instruments and devices, is powerless to go that deep. Only God can go that deep. Only God can go into the deep places of the life and meet those kind of needs. And only the church has that spirit. And we got to believe. Listen. Look on us. Because there's nothing in your life that is greater than the power of God. God can take any mess. Any mess. And transform it into a masterpiece. Doesn't matter what baggage and what problems and what brokenness and what bondage you have in your life. God is greater. And there's no other place to look than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look on us. Look on us. You know, when Peter saw this lame man lying in his powerlessness, I believe a flame came ablaze in Peter's heart. A holy zeal for God suddenly ignited in his heart. I believe Peter suddenly remembered that moment in his own life when he was sinking in his own strengthless place and crying out in desperation. And the hand of Christ reached out to him and lifted him up out of his stormy sea. And Peter knew in his heart, this is why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to skirt around man's powerlessness with generosity. Jesus didn't come to work around man's helplessness with benevolence. But He came to give strengthless men strength and powerless women power. And Peter suddenly sensed in his heart that as the church of Jesus Christ, He has now become Christ's hand extended to lift others up out of their strengthless places. And Peter, in a holy zeal, a flame in his heart, stretched out his hand and took hold of him. And through faith in the name of Jesus Christ, and by the power of Jesus Christ flowing through Peter's life, this man found the strength to rise up and walk in everything God had to offer him. Oh God, let that holy zeal burn in your church again. When we pray, let it burn in your church again. When we preach, let it burn in your church again. When we worship, let it burn in your church again. That Jesus didn't come to skirt around man's dilemmas with human generosity, but he came to face man's powerlessness head on and give what the world could never give, and that strength to walk in your strengthless places. And let that burn in our hearts again. God, when we pray for our generation, when we pray for our society, God, would you ignite our heart with a flame again? That Jesus, you came to meet man's dilemmas head on. That's why you came. And you came to give strength where we have no strength and power where we have no power. To walk in places that we could never walk in our own strength. And experience victories that we could never experience in our own strength. Listen, without you, I might not can be a good father to my children. But with you, I can be a man of God and I can be the father that I need to be to my children. Listen, God, without you, all I may know is anger and hate and abuse because of the hurts of my past. But God, with you can heal my heart and I can raise my home and conduct my home in joy and peace and in the strength of the Lord because you can make a difference. Thank God for human generosity. But Jesus didn't come to this earth to give us handouts of silver and gold. That's as far as man's strength can go. I can't solve your problem, but I can be generous. But the Lord says, I'm not here to skirt around your powerlessness and your crippledness and your captivity by just giving you handouts of human generous. I came to meet your problems head on and raise you up. And let that burn in the heart of your church again. Beloved, there is a truth in this story. There is a fire in this story that God needs to burn in our hearts again. That God wants to burn in our hearts again. It is something that much of His church has lost in a large measure. Yes, we sing about it. Yes, we preach about it. Yes, we even pray about it. But the fire has almost completely died in so many of houses that are called by His name. And yet if God can stir it in our hearts again, we will pray so much differently. We will believe for greater things so much differently. And I believe we'll see things happen in a measure that we've never seen before. Well then, Pastor Tim, what is it? Well, look with me at chapter 3 again. Look with me at verse 11. I'm going to read through verse 13. It says, "And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power of holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus." Stop. The God of our fathers has glorified his son Jesus. Beloved, this is the truth that God wants to burn in our hearts again. This is the prayer that God wants to burn in our hearts again. That God so passionately wants to glorify His Son, Jesus. He wants to touch people in our society and miraculously change and transform lives for the glory of His Son. And with this understanding, He wants us to be so discontent with the normal. Listen, understanding that God passionately wants to glorify His Son Jesus in our generation, He wants us to become so sick of the status quo and so discontent with the mediocre. And with this understanding, He wants a cry coming out of our hearts when we pray. And that's a cry that says, God, I'm not going to be content with the normal and the status quo when You said greater works than these shall we see. I'm not going to be content with just praying for the sake of praying and saying we prayed when You said hereafter You shall see heaven open and greater things than these. I know in my heart You're looking in the strengthless, powerless society that I'm living in and longing to lift up the lame into the newness of life. And why should I expect anything less when human hearts are hungry for what You have to offer? Why should I expect anything less when there are people genuinely hungry for what You have to offer? Amen. Beloved, God wants to rekindle that flame in the hearts of His people again. That He so passionately wants to glorify His Son Jesus in our generation. And if this truth sets our hearts on fire, if this truth sets our house on fire, if this truth one more time sets our prayers on fire, it will transform our church. Will Pastor Tim transform it into what? Are you with me? Pastor Tim, transform it into what? Look with me at verse 8 and 9. It said, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Beloved, that temple suddenly became a house of marvelous testimony. That house called by God's name suddenly became a house of marvelous testimony. It became a place where someone was suddenly giving God glory and people could only watch in amazement at what God had done. Beloved, I truly believe with all my heart what God is doing in our house and has done in our house is nothing short of phenomenal. I'm telling you, people are being changed here. Lives are being changed here. We have seen people get up and walk out of their strengthless places and into victory. We've seen people who had areas in their life that they thought they were always going to be captivated by suddenly find themselves walking in marvelous freedom. I really believe this is a house of miracles, and I really believe this is a house of testimony. I really do. I really believe this is a house of prayer. And God is faithful to answer prayer. I believe that with all my heart. But what I sense by the Holy Spirit is there is a measure the Lord wants us to see that we haven't even begun to see yet. There's a society that He wants to touch that we haven't even begun to see yet. There are testimonies that's going to make the world just stand up in shock and awe and say, only God can do this that we haven't begun to see yet. And God is saying one more time, I just feel like I need to reignite your passion again, that I want my Son Jesus to be glorified in this generation. If there's any kind of mindset that says, you know what, the lame man was lame when we walked in and the lame man's going to be lame when we walked out, I want to change that mindset because I don't want him lame. I want him a testimony for the glory of my Son. Well, my neighbor was a drunk when I went to church and my neighbor will be a drunk when I come home from church. God says, no, I don't want your neighbor to be a drunk. I want to reach down and save him because I see something in his heart you don't see. I hear a cry, God, I'm hungry for what you have to offer. And one more time, I want to flame that in the hearts of my people. That I am burning with a holy zeal to see my Son glorified in your generation. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit truly ignites that flame, it's going to change the way we worship, going to change the way we preach. It's going to change the way we pray. Amen. Amen. Do you believe it? Man is so real in my heart. God has made it so real in my heart. We can't hear the cries. But even God told Paul, Paul, I have much people in this city. You haven't seen them yet. You haven't experienced them yet. You haven't preached the gospel yet and saw the floods of people that are going to respond because they're hungry for what I have to offer. But they're there, Paul. And I believe with all my heart, God is saying, Tim, in this little town you live in, Grantville, PA, or Lebanon, or Anvil, or Fredericksburg, or wherever you're from, God is saying, I hear the cries. That single mom who lays in her bed at night wondering, how am I going to feed my children tomorrow morning, and how am I going to meet the needs of their heart? And, oh, God, can you help me? God says, I hear that cry and I can help her. That father who's just so tired of the only thought that my children have toward me is I'm just a drunk. And I don't say that in a condescending way, but I'm just telling you, there are people so hungry for change. And they're hungry for what God has to offer. And God says, I want to reach down and meet their needs because I want to glorify my son Jesus in your generation. And the prayer of my heart is, God, would you help us to believe? Would you help us to pray like we believe? Would you put a holy passion in our heart? I want the same passion. When Peter looked at that lame man and suddenly remembered why Jesus came, not to skirt around the issues or to cover the issues up with human acts of goodness. Nothing wrong with that. But Jesus came to meet crippledness and lameness and captivity head on. And just a holy fire just consumed him. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but you don't need silver and gold. What you need is the strength to get up and walk. And beloved, I want that to captivate my heart again. Amen. No matter what problem I see, no matter what problem I encounter, no matter whose life looks so messed up to beyond one point, something comes alive inside of me that says, Jesus is why you came. Is why he came. You are why he came. He didn't come to skirt around your problems. He came to make you live again and give you a new life. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Beloved, I don't want to give an altar call. I want to pray. I want to pray. You know, all around this house. You know, I believe it with all my heart. Listen. You don't have to go to big cities to see the absolute darkness of sin destroying people's lives. We would be surprised at what's going on in some of the houses all around us. Perversion, pornography, child pornography. You know, not trying to scare anybody, but when me and my wife was adopting my son, we had to do a check. And we found out that this little town of Grantville, in all Pennsylvania, this little town of Grantville, percentage-wise, has one of the highest rates of sex offenders. You know, when you get out of jail for a sex offense, I think it's some kind of law where you have to go and you have to sign in and say, you know what? I am a registered sex offender. You want to talk about bondage. And we can look at that and say, ooh. But God says, listen, I'm not here to skirt around your issue or your problem. I'm here to give you power over that. I'm here to set you free from that. You know, right down the road is a friend of mine, is a Hindu couple. You want to talk about being very passionate about their religion. That man is up at 4:30 every morning and he prays the noon, praying to his gurus. But you know what? There is an anointing. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to give to eyesight to the blind. There is a power that can break that deception. I don't know if they're there anymore, but just right down the road, there are three men living in a house together bound by homosexuality. And the Lord says, I can move into that situation and I can raise up a testimony for the glory of my Son, Jesus. Do you believe it? See, we just look at the sin. God says, no, I look deeper than that. I hear the cry of the heart. And I'm telling you, God put it in my heart. There are people around this house that are so hungry for what God has to offer. And I just want to pray for them this morning. This morning I want to set this time of altar call aside and just pray for the lost. Pray for the bound. Pray for one that woke up this morning with something in their heart that just said, oh God, I'm so tired of this. Is there an alternative to this? Is there a power to live above this? Amen. God saved them. And glorify your Son, Jesus. Can we not have an altar call for ourselves this morning? But can we pray for our town this morning? And wherever you're from, pray for your town this morning. I'm telling you, as long as there's one person outside this wall, everything is not all right. They need Jesus. Amen. So can we just, I'm just going to have us break up in groups. Can we just break up in groups of three or four? And say, God, would you glorify your Son in this town? Would you glorify your Son in this house? God, would you go to those cries that are in people's hearts? And would you bring them to salvation? Would you break their bondages? Would you cause both the world and the church to stand in awe at what God has done? And can we just pray again that, Lord, if somewhere along the way I've gotten this mindset that the lame man was lame when I came to church and the lame man's going to be lame when I leave church. God, can you just break this mindset off of me, God? That you want to go into the deepest places and raise up testimonies for the glory of your Son, Jesus. God, would you cause our hearts to be a heart of faith? And let that faith set our prayers on fire. Oh God, glorify your Son. Beloved, let's just pray. You can pray standing, you can pray kneeling, you can come to the altar and pray, but let's just pray. And you don't have to stay, you don't have to sit unless you want to sit. But let's just pray this morning. Amen. You know, sometimes when I preach, I can get very passionate about what I'm preaching about. And someone might even think, Pastor Tim, are you angry? If I ever come off that way, please, no, I'm not angry. I'm just passionate. And please, don't anybody leave here thinking, Pastor Tim is saying the Lord doesn't think of us as a house of prayer. No. We pray. We are a praying church. And God is doing what only God can do in people's lives. But I just feel like the Lord wanted to very lovingly challenge us again to believe. To believe. To shake off that mindset that says the lame man was lame when I came in to God's house. And the lame man's going to be lame when I leave God's house. Any kind of mindset like that. Well, my neighbor was an alcoholic when I went to church, and when I get home from church, my neighbor's going to be an alcoholic. That's never going to change. No, 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 no. God can transcend that. Because He hears the cry in people's hearts that we don't hear. And I'm telling you, please don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Not this house, but I believe in every community, every society, there are people that are hungry for what God has to offer. And I just believe that when we pray for them, earnestly pray, God, would you just glorify your Son Jesus right where I live? God's not going to disappoint. People are going to get saved. And they're going to be changed. And they're going to possess a testimony that's going to make both the world and the church stand up in awe. And say, only God can do this. Beloved, you don't know the man I was before I got saved. But there are times I can go back to Alabama on vacation and run into old friends who haven't seen me in years. And the look on their faces, says, you are changed. You are not that same person I used to run around with. And I agree with you. Only God could have done what I see in your life. Amen. God wants the world to stand up and take notice of what He can do in people's lives when they surrender to Him. And if we will pray with that kind of faith and that kind of passion in our heart, then like that temple in Acts chapter 3, our house of prayer will be a supernatural house where people can only be amazed at what God has done in someone's life. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Thank you. Stand with me this morning. Lord, I thank you for just lovingly challenging our hearts to believe again. God, when you plant a church, one of the reasons why you plant the church is because you see surrounding that church are a thirsty people. Lord, a church is supposed to be a well that you carve where thirsty hearts can find the life of God. And Lord, I thank you, God, over the years, I've seen you do it. From the time you established this church over the years, I've seen your hands digging deep here and cultivating something deep here. And we're so grateful for it. But God, come against any kind of mindset that says, we'll pray for the sake of praying, but I really don't expect to see anything change. Come against that, God. No, 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 no. You passionately want to glorify your Son, Jesus. And would you breathe into our hearts again and inflame that in our life again. Jesus, God, you want to glorify your Son, Jesus. You didn't come to skirt around men's problems with just acts of human goodness and generosity. You came to meet them head on. You came to give freedom for bondage and life for death and strength for lameness to walk. That's why you come. Let that breathe in our hearts again. And God, when we worship, let it inflame our worship. When we preach, let it inflame our preaching. When we pray, let it inflame our prayers. And Jesus, you be glorified in this generation. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We give you glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.